Welcome to episode 45 of Digital Outbox. Hello and good evening. It's a packed show tonight. Joining me is Chris. Hi, Chris.
Hello.
And we have Henry. Hi, Henry.
Hi there.
So, almost forgot. We've got Shaquille.
Yay.
Hello.
The longest absence ever, but he's back.
I thought I'd make a surprise appearance.
It's good to hear your dulcet tones.
Thank you.
So, it's been quite a week.
Quite a week.
I think that's all I've got to say. It's been volcanoes and hashtags and all that kind of stuff.
Is that what they're calling it? Hashtags?
I'm sure that was the... Was that not the hashtag? It was the hashtag.
It makes sense.
Get the Navy in. Send them in. Invade Spain. We'll kick off...
It's always good for an election, that.
What, an invasion? Well, it never hurt Margaret Thatcher. Let's invade Falklands.
It worked for Thatcher, yeah.
Let's make up a war. Anyway, we'll start off with a little bit of politics. So there was the debate last week, which seems to have stirred everything up. And I guess the one thing I noticed about that was straight away you could get everybody's reaction on Twitter.
Yeah, and well, they made a big thing of it, didn't they? Had the Twitter stream and things like that all going on their website. It's all very technologically quite impressive.
Apart from Alistair Stewart. The one thing that I think Henry pointed out, the Lib Dems have come out and said the digital economy bill they will repeal fully.
Completely.
And I don't think anybody else is saying that.
Nobody else is.
So apart from there's a couple of little tech-orientated parties, like the Pirate Party, I think they've said they would do it, but they're not going to get any power.
No, I doubt it. That doesn't sound very hopeful.
So would that sway you to voting? Would that sway you to voting for the Liberals?
No. It's one of a number of things, isn't it? I don't know. I mean, I haven't made up my mind yet. But it's certainly, a point that we have talked about at length and is quite an important issue.
Well, we think it's important, and it's only the only party that seemingly are keeping it in the kind of the news.
They've genuinely made it important rather than just paying lip service to it.
Absolutely.
I'm sure Gordon Brown agrees with Nick anyway.
Yeah. So, sorry, Shaki, you were going to say?
I was just going to say, being politicians, it's hard to believe whether if they came into power, they'd take that action or not.
Mm.
They might just twist it into something else and call it, a different kind of bill.
Yeah, a Bob.
The digital economy Bob.
And look what Bob did for Microsoft. That didn't turn out very well either, did it?
No, let's not turn this into a pro-Apple podcast. So we mentioned Twitter there, and over the last week, there's been a fair amount of announcements from Twitter. The first one was we're going to get Twitter ads basically it's promoted tweets are going to appear in our Twitter streams.
Catchy.
The way they announced this, it's almost like they're, we're going to caress you with our adverts. A bit like Apple announced, all their the iAds and things.
Oh dear me, Apple bashing has started already.
I haven't started bashing. We're going to do it gently, and it's what Twitter sort of, they've come out and pretty much said, we're going to do adverts, but you're not going to mind. You're not going to mind.
So the actual, what they've announced is that they're launching promoted tweet. If you do a search and the search matches something like a product or a service or an offer or an advert that one of their partner companies wants to promote, then that will be a promoted tweet that will appear on your stream, on your search. they're partnering with Best Buy, Bravo, Red Bull, Sony Pictures, Starbucks and Virgin America to initially. Part of me at first felt, that doesn't sound too bad. You're only going to see it in Twitter.com search result pages, and it sounded okay, to be honest. If I do a search and like Starbucks are saying, if you go and visit this store, then you get 10% off. Is that a bad thing?
No, but then again, they've said that this is just their gentle way in.
Yes.
And they will end up making it so that it does insert ads into your stream.
Yes, and that was where I was slightly more dismayed. You know, it was later on during the briefing they said that not only will it make it into your own stream, but they'll also open up to third parties. So that the client, all the developer apps that people are using, will start to use promoted tweets as well.
They've said that they're going to use, what are they calling it, resonance? I can't remember what they call it. Is that sound?
Well,
right?
I've got it in the notes that they've talked about. It won't stay afloat for a long time. It's not guaranteed. And if the tweet isn't tracking well in terms of replies, clicks, and a number of other metrics, and that's, oh yes, you're right. It's called resonance. It'll be pulled.
So basically, if you're, say, you know, you're offering a nice big incentive, say, you know, 25% off something, and it gets retweeted, then it will stay afloat longer because it's being proved useful. If it's just saying, come and have a look at our site, it's going to sink fast. And that sounds like quite a good thing. I mean, I heard another, well, I can't remember exactly where I heard it, actually, but someone was saying that there's a happy bot out on the Twitter. If you say you're feeling happy or something, it twitters back to you and says, oh, I'm feeling happy.
There's lots of bots out there. So if you mention...
loads of those.
Yeah, if you mention iPad, you get the iPad, you know, bot auto-tweeting back to you, and you're like, sod off.
Right. But that seems a much more intelligent way, maybe, of going forward with adverts. You know, maybe you're looking for an offer, and you could say, looking for offers in Reading, and it, you know, people can tweet back on a, you know, into your stream.
So basically you need a Reading bot.
But you see, here's the thing though, that there is an opportunity here for the client developers to filter all those promoted tweets out. Well, if they're clearly labeled as promoted, then you just say, right, well, I don't want any of them. And actually, it kind of will boost your client app for a lot of people that don't want any of the
adverts. Don't you think they're going to encourage people to use the ads by, say, giving them an incentive?
Yeah, but if there was an app, so we talked about last week, that Tweety getting bought. And I'm assuming Tweety will never have the feature to allow you to switch off promoted tweets. But if promoted tweets did get in the way and you did hate them, would you not go and buy an app for 99 cents or 59p that allowed you to switch them off?
Yeah, you would. Well, I would. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. So it would be if it is a choice for a developer, then, you know, the choice is...
Yeah, and I don't know if it will be a choice. It might be if you want to use the API, you've got to keep the promoted tweets on.
Yeah,
but that's what I find that's where I think is the problem really with Twitter at the moment anyway, isn't it? Is that because they've opened everything up, actually very few people use the actual website to use Twitter. Mm. It's all a kind of clients and things. So they've really kind of, they don't really have much control over their own product. It's a very strange,
I think that's what they're reining back in, you know. So they've got their own clients now. They're replacing Bitly for URL shorteners, and I think they're bringing a whole load of services back in house almost now that they've got everything under control. I mean, I think if you go back 2 years, the performance of Twitter was awful. No, and now it seems fairly stable. So, going on to that, there was Twitter Chirp, which was their developer conference. Some of the stats I thought were quite interesting. They're getting 3 billion requests a day through the API.
3 billion, it's huge numbers, isn't it?
Yes.
Huge numbers.
Growth 1500% a year. They're talking, 55 million new tweets per day, 600 million search queries, which sounds phenomenal.
That 600 million search queries sounds... how often do you search Twitter? Or do you just watch your stream? I wonder whether search is a wider term for them, as in, you know...
I wouldn't say.
It could be. I mean, if you've got, for instance, on your, on the clients where you've got a, you can have a kind of a search pane, can't you?
Well, yes. I just wonder whether just when you receive your, you know, when you go to an app and you receive your front page that's got thing on, whether that classes as a search in their terms.
But also, if you do a search in either one of the clients on the web page, it auto refreshes. So every time it auto refreshes, is that another search?
Yeah, so it could be another search. It seems unusual to say that there's going to be 600 million, but I guess, you know, I don't know how many people use Twitter nowadays.
Billions!
I mean, I rarely use the search feature directly, but I'm just wondering, you know, like sometimes you put a tweet up and it's got a certain keyword.
And you click the keyword?
Immediately, sorry?
You click the keyword?
No. If you put a tweet up yourself and almost immediately you'll get a new user who starts following you just based on that keyword. I wonder if there are like lots of maybe bots out there.
Yeah.
That just search tweets randomly and looking for keywords. Maybe that adds up.
But also, if you click on one of the keywords, like most of the clients let you do, I wonder if that's classing it. That must be doing a search to say here's all the tags coming back. So we probably are searching without searching. Searching without searching.
Fighting without fighting.
That's where the quote was from. Because as soon as I said it, I was like, where's that from?
Enter the Dragon, classic film.
The Art of Fighting without Fighting. Anyway.
You did dub voice then, didn't you? As in you were moving your little mouth.
Well, I'll put in a better one later on. We'll sort it and edit it. I don't know if you had a look at Google. They've introduced Twitter timelines in real-time search.
I've not seen it, but I've seen the news report, and it looks good.
Yeah, but I'm amazed at just how it's just how important Twitter as a search source is becoming.
So when you do a search in Google now, it comes up with a timeline and it shows you how your search term relates to Twitter and the activity that's been going on.
And you can jump into a certain little bit of the timeline to say, well, show me last March. You know, who was searching for this Icelandic volcano last March or whatever. So
nobody.
I think one thing that's interesting about Twitter, how it's evolved over the last few years, and I think we've discussed this before. Sometimes it's hard to figure out whether what you're reading in Twitter is genuine or not, because obviously it's just normal people putting up tweets. But I guess now there's so many people using it that you are bound to get more or less genuine results for whatever you're searching for out there.
Yeah, and that was one of the things we talked about. You know, it was the news stories were breaking and were they genuine, but you can just see straight away if something's real or not.
Yeah.
And I guess, I've used it locally when there's been like an incident locally, I've searched locally and you do get people reporting on it. It is pretty amazing what you can get out of it. A couple other things they announced as well, that they're going to be bringing points of interest, so actual places, not just the geo-coordinates. So you'll be able to click on and they've got an example of like an art gallery and see what everybody's seen within the art gallery at that point in time or over the last day. They are also going to bring in annotations, which allows a developer to add some metadata to a tweet. And they're limited by what metadata they can add, but I guess over time we'll start to see some interesting spin-offs from that.
I mean, that's what Twitter's been good at all along, isn't it? It's sort of letting the service develop for itself. And by adding, different meta or allowing people to add their own meta, that could be interesting.
It could go anywhere. If you think about it, if you wanted a platform where it can message, everybody can message each other and you can tag on your own little bits of metadata, it's very powerful. They've also launched dev.twitter.com, which is a resource site that pulls together all these development resources. And the bizarre one for me is that the Library of Congress is now, from the beginning of Twitter, is going to archive everybody's tweets.
Is this an ongoing thing? I guess it is.
Yep. So after a 6 months delay, basically, I'm guessing Twitter are handing over all the data and it's going to be in the Library of Congress so you can go and search through it.
Wow. It's going to be an interesting source of information, I guess, at some point.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
But yeah,
is it just me or something, though? Does that not kind of defeat the whole point of Twitter, which is the kind of the immediate and the kind of you kind of drop into the conversation and you drop out and, if anything... You don't kind of go back to things.
That's why it's a good record as well.
The only thing I can think is things like... See when there's been like worldwide events happening, Michael Jackson, when he popped, it was all over Twitter before it was on the news sites, really. I'm guessing as a researcher to be able to go back and get all that information, I'm guessing you'll be able to pull some stats out and see.
And somebody could write either an app or a website that pulls in all the information from Twitter and then displays it in a
if you're a student and you were doing some studies into an event that happened, to be able to pull all the tweets back and all the ones with geolocation and show how it spread around the world, so could you do a little timeline of here how it spread locally and then it was like boom, it was all over the world. I've said boom, I'm turning into a Steve Jobs bot. Anyway, that's Twitter, and I think all the other stories are all gadgety hardware ones.
You mean Woo-hoo! Apple?
So, first up, after a very long delay, Apple announced some new MacBook Pros last week. I will rattle quickly through some stats and then we'll get your comments. So, first up, the surprising one, i5-i7, dual cores, not quad cores. The emphasis is on battery life and not performance. So the 13-inch, they're quoting 10 hours, 15 and 17-inch, 8 to 9. And I think in practice, it's people are getting around 5 to 6 out of the 15 inches. Screens, a high-res option, or a higher density option, a 1680 by 1050 panel. They're sorted out, not needing to reboot to swap between the integrated and the high-end video. And I think that's about it. Your thoughts?
Nothing spectacular, I guess, other than just the Intel chips, the new one. But I guess people weren't really expecting anything more than that.
Probably.
Well, I wasn't expecting them to increase the prices as much as they have.
Yes.
For such a poor increase in performance. I mean, I was quite interested in getting a 13-inch MacBook Pro, but now I'm kind of, you know, I didn't rush out and have to say, oh, I've got to go and get one of those, because it's like, well, you know, it's more expensive and it's pretty much the same chip in the 13-inch. It doesn't have the i5 or i7.
No. And what they're saying about
it makes it look very expensive compared to a PC.
Yeah, what they're saying about the i5 and i7 is they just couldn't fit it in the 13-inch, which seems a bit odd.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't know if that's due to the large battery they're squeezing in there as well.
I think it's their push towards having a large battery though is a good idea, and I think they're probably the balance between chucking in quad cores and, you know, and really chewing up battery life. So I think that's a good decision.
Yeah. I think that's the call they've made. You know, so it is a conscious decision rather than chasing just, you know, high CPU. It's like, well, we can get good performance out of better graphics. I like the denser panels. The 1680 by 1050 on a 15-inch screen is quite appealing.
I'm surprised that they don't. Do they do a full high def on the 17-inch?
1920. No, I don't think so.
Was there ever an option for that? I seem to recall, like, ages ago, there was something like for the 17-inch you could get like a higher res.
Because on a 17-inch screen, the full high def screen is definitely possible.
You mean like a 1080p?
And quite comfy. Yeah, yeah.
It definitely used to be full HD.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Mm. No. And I agree about the price. I mean, that 17-inch at $1,899, that is eye-watering, that is.
Okay, I've just checked. It's a 1920 by 1200 in the 17-inch.
Yeah, like it.
So that is a proper HD.
Yep.
Which is quite a good resolution.
Mm-hmm.
But I always felt the 15-inch was a bit tight at 1440 by 900.
Yeah.
So to get that extra resolution in there is pretty good going. But nothing
truly spectacular, though, is it?
No.
I think everyone agrees. It's
no. I was, and I'm still swithering. I've got to be honest, I'm all over the place knowing what to buy. And part of the reason for that is the iPad's been delayed in the UK, which I don't think is much of a surprise to anybody. It's now end of May because of a greater than anticipated success in the US. And I put in a "yeah, right" comment.
Yeah, that wasn't even me, but if you hadn't put it there,
And they're still saying that it's, you know, that's unprecedented demand, but I still think it's probably more the manufacturing rate that can turn these out rather than the demand. Certainly the if you look online, people seem to be able to stroll into a store in America and pick one up no problem. Yeah.
I still think it's something to do with international rights as well. There's no point in them bringing it out over here until they've got their bookstore and stuff in place, I don't think.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it's one of the big things that I want to, if I got one, I think I would actually be making, even taking, you know, books that I have electronically just now and putting them onto the platform. But I can see myself buying books and comics.
And I think that the fact that during the presentation they did make quite a big deal about the iBooks,
yes,
and not releasing that is not good.
So for UK, the details of pricing and pre-ordering will be on May the 10th, with a launch towards the end of May. O2, Vodafone, Orange will all be announcing iPad-specific deals in the coming weeks. And
Yeah, and that was quite interesting because they're definitely talking about having at least two kinds of contracts, aren't they? The kind of the US style.
Well, they seem to be, and that's
month to month kind of.
I think that'll make that'll be my deciding point whether to get if I do get one, and B if I get one, is it a 3G or Wi-Fi? Because if it's Wi-Fi, I'd maybe get a MiFi. Too many similar names. but if I could get like a pay as you go, see if I could just buy a sim and like put 10 you know, gigabytes on it, and then use it up over a year, or however long that I use it up, and pay for that, I'd be quite happy to do that rather than committing to a monthly contract.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll.
But then then you may well be able to get a contract which then subsidizes the upfront hardware costs. So so it there's a trade off there as well.
Yeah, and it's just going to be working all that out. And I've put a graphic in the show notes. Perspective. The third most important news item on BBC News that night was Apple delays the iPad global release. Get a grip.
Yeah, but I guess if you listen to the tech community, it's all over the place as soon as anything gets announced like that, isn't it?
It just makes
it sound bigger than it really is.
And to be fair, maybe you're right, because the third biggest story last night was Adrian Childs going to ITV.
Exactly.
So maybe it was important. So moving on, hell has frozen over. Opera Mini has been approved. So I'm sure Chris said that will never happen.
I said I was pretty skeptical about it. I admit to that. Yeah, and I think I said
it probably would get approved.
Point scoring.
We're gonna have to listen. Yeah, we're gonna have to keep listening to Henry because he keeps getting it right. Yeah, you keep getting it right.
Henry.
Yeah, I think, but people generally were surprised, though, weren't they, that it did? And they're sort of saying, was it partly because of Opera's openness about telling everyone, or did they have a deal ahead of time so they knew already?
Or was it partly?
No, I think what it is, it's partly because Opera Mini is pretty rubbish and it's not really much of a competitor with Safari. Anyway.
They're sort of thought,
yeah, you can put that on. No one will really use that.
And I've got to be honest, I fired it up and I thought, oh, you know, if ever there was an advert for using Safari.
The good it's a choice, and okay, and give them a chance. I mean, it's only just got there.
Okay, so the choice is I'm going to use a really crap GUI.
It's not that bad. I don't see what's wrong with it.
Like a GUI from 1995.
To be honest, I've given up pretty much browsing on my phone anyway.
Luddite. I just felt that, you know, you fired it up. It's an image that's getting cached. When it was zoomed out, you couldn't read anything. When you double-clicked to zoom in, it took you right in. It didn't do the intelligent zooming that you got in Safari.
I found it pretty intelligent. I didn't find any problems.
Does that say something about you, Chris, or Opera Mini?
But no, I give it a chance, basically, and at least it's there, and at least we've got a chance now that we can have more browsers, I guess.
Oh, no, definitely. It'll be interesting to see if something like Mozilla put their mobile one on. Because I think they seem to be doing a bit more. There's a bit more impetus behind them.
Ooh.
Right. I think we now move on to three phone stories to round off tonight's show. The first one is a kind of make-believe one. Apple's next iPhone is now out in the wild by the looks of it. And I'm sure anybody listening knows all this, knows the story anyway. But just a bit of background. Engadget leaked, had a photo on, I think it was Saturday. Which said, we've got a photo of the next iPhone. It was found in a bar, and people were poo-pooing it and saying, what a load of rubbish. They then posted up a picture, which is an iPad leaked picture from January, February, which they claimed proved that their phone that they could potentially have or have seen is the real deal. And it was around that time that Gruber started saying, well, I actually think they've got the phone. And there was some background to it that Apple are looking for a missing device and the resolution ties up, it's a higher res screen. So there's a whole load of bits and pieces. But it was when I got home from work yesterday, it was actually Gizmodo had just posted up a story saying, here is the next iPhone. Have you all seen that story, yeah?
Yep.
Yeah.
So, and I guess I think there's nothing really surprising. So it's everything everybody talked about, front-facing video camera, the back camera has been improved, or it looked bigger, there's camera flash, micro SIM similar to the iPad, they're not sure on display size, but it's improved, second-gen mic for noise cancellation, split buttons for volume. But I guess the thing that was surprising is it looked very different.
I think it's kind of an evolution.
Yeah, I thought the whole thing was quite surprising. But I mean, like you say, everything was kind of what had been rumored. But if you go like back, every time there are rumors about the next gen iPhone, you know, you'd be lucky to get like half the rumors appearing. So it's almost like you got everything that was rumored plus a little bit more. I mean, I hadn't heard anything about this noise cancelling microphone on the top that's there. So I was extremely impressed.
I think the thing looks really good as well. I mean, it's got an aluminium kind of edge to it, but everything's much more squared off.
Yeah, I mean, initially I thought it looked quite ugly and non-Apple-like, but then when I saw the actual video, when they show it, you know, they spin it around and everything, and seeing some of the larger pictures, I've kind of, you know, grown towards it now.
Basically, if Jonathan Ive had been doing a voiceover talking about this was the product I've always wanted to make, then you'd be convinced. Then it's an Apple product. I thought what was quite interesting was that they're talking about the back is some sort of glass or ceramic to get to increase the shell signal. That's not right. The cell signal.
Seashell signal.
Crack on.
There must be some mistake.
There must be some mistake.
Oh, dear.
What about the current iPhone? What is that? Not like a kind of plasticky back. The one we already have.
I don't know because I've got a cover.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it feels quite plasticky. Yeah.
It is quite plasticky. Yeah.
But if you look at it, was it not the ones before that had the aluminium back and had the plastic top when the 3G one came out?
Yeah, the original first gen one.
Yeah. Your one that you had.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was aluminium and it had that black bit at the top.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess the only thing I don't like about all this is the way that Gizmodo have dealt with this. So this is like probably what the biggest gadget story of the year ever, kind of thing. You know, to get a scoop like that, I guess, is immense.
This is the first time I've ever seen an Apple product launch leak before a launch.
Yeah. Now.
Yeah.
The story came out, and people—I guess some of the other kind of journalists in the field were a bit more suspicious. John Gruber started saying that Apple are considering this phone stolen, rather than it's been lost and it's been found by somebody. Then Gizmodo confirmed that they paid $5,000 for it,
or $10,000. Was it
10,000? Well, they paid money for it.
They paid a lot of money.
The bit that I thought was really nasty. was Gizmodo then told that, you know, basically that a full post up, because they had to, it's too good a story, a full post up of the engineer that's lost it, and they named him. And I just thought, you know, it's bad enough that he's probably, you know, he's in a lot of trouble, he's probably going to get the bullet over this, and now you guys have named him. Didn't name the guy that they bought it off of, didn't go into the detail about all the kind of shady goings on, but actually named the guy that lost it. I just thought it was a bit wrong. Yeah.
But to be fair, I think the fact that as soon as the phone was stolen, it was remotely wiped the next day.
Yeah.
So obviously Apple already knew who it was because he must have reported it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like then they wiped his phone. But just to sort of like, you know, bring it all out into the open. But, you know, because it wasn't really a nice thing to do, I don't think.
No.
And I got the impression that they were just trying to like cover their own backs with that, you know, trying to like put the focus on him, saying, well, you know, he's the one who lost it and, you know, we don't really do anything bad.
Well, the thing was, the guy did lose it. I mean, what was he doing with it in a bar anyway, leaving it lying down? I mean, if it got nicked from him, then that's one thing. But to say, oh, well, I just left it. Yeah. I mean, come on. It's one of these, you know, you just don't do that. I mean, that was just...
I mean, there's quite a spliced-up story in Gizmodo. I think it might have been today they put one up, or was it yesterday? And it's like almost like reading a screenplay, you know, how it happened, step by step.
I read it and I just didn't believe it.
Mm.
No, it just all seemed very convenient. The only thing I thought was quite interesting was the fact that they disguised it in a shell that made it look like a 3G. And
that was interesting.
It kind of reminded me of like the, you know, how you get the spy shots of cars and they put the kind of false cladding around it to hide what the car is. Very much like that. So I think to conclude it, Apple have now sent them a letter saying we want the phone back.
Yeah.
And I guess everybody's now waiting to see if there's any legal action. There's a whole load of American law about if you're found lost property, then you know if you don't return it or try and return it, you're breaking the law. So it'll be interesting to see. Maybe one of the Gizmodo guys will get jailed.
Well, you know, they've said that they did try and get in touch with Apple, but to begin with, of course, Apple just completely denied it.
Yeah.
So putting up a big story like that certainly is a way of getting them to either not acknowledge you.
I didn't like the way they named the guy. I just thought it was unnecessary. Nobody needed to know his name. And then they started another post saying, don't sack him. And it's like, well, maybe you shouldn't have named him then.
Yeah. And the fact that they actually called him up and he was still there, you know, so he's not been sacked, so no need to make.
And even today, there's another story about, oh, look, he was celebrating his birthday. They're going into like his Twitter stream and digging stuff up, and it's like, leave it alone.
Mm-hmm. Send him a fruit basket. So what about the actual phone itself? And impressed?
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, I actually like the design of it.
I want to hear Chris's thoughts.
No, as I already said, I think it looks quite elegant. But like, we haven't seen anything, we haven't seen it running. But then again, we don't really need to because it's just going to look the same.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to have, and I guess what will happen is it's going to have OS4, the higher resolution, might have some bits and pieces in it. There's some rumours through the week about OS4, about some Facebook integration and some social networking integration that people are starting to tease out. You know, iChat background running things and front-facing cameras. I guess that's all things that we're all assuming is going to be happening now.
Yeah. And about bloody time for the flash of the camera at the back.
And I guess it'll be interesting to see how good the camera is, because we're going to be talking about the Droid Incredible later on. And its camera looks amazing for a phone of that size.
Mm. Chat roulette on your iPhone, eh?
Well, no.
Oh, no, you can't do that because it's flash.
Yeah, you just can't let it go, can you?
I didn't even mean to make a dig then.
I'm sure I'm going to be standing in the queue come end of June, July.
Okay, so you're going to buy that over the iPad or?
Oh, I will buy the new iPhone. Yeah, I use it too much. I use it all the time, so that's a given.
Yeah,
that's a given. Anyway, moving on, another phone. So this was, I think it was known as Project Pink. This is a Microsoft Kin. It's a social networking phone.
Oh dear.
And I don't really want to, well, first of all of us, especially Shaquille, this is the wrong, this phone isn't for us, it's for younger users. So we're probably not the target market.
I think this is what the tech community forgets all the time, especially people who podcast like us, that we're always looking for the next thing, but also we look at things as far as, you know, is this, you know, do I want this? No. So if I don't want it, no one wants it. But this is for a very, very different market. And you'd believe that Microsoft had done, you know, done something horrendous listening to the kind of comments that they get about this, this new phone.
But
actually, I think it's a pretty clever device targeted at
you would, wouldn't you?
Targeted at a younger audience, an audience that don't. I mean, they can't necessarily afford an iPhone.
And to be honest, you might be right. I mean, I just look at it, and interface wise, I was just like, oh, this looks horrible.
So basically, it's for a younger audience who don't really know any better.
No, it's just for a younger audience who don't have a, you know,
might as well give them a banana and draw a keypad on it and they'll be happy with that.
So it's for a younger audience, and it was to make social, basically sharing social media as easy as possible. And, you know, if you got your phone, it would have everything on it that you can share a photo, talk quickly to somebody, and That's what it's targeted at. Yeah. And I guess
there's still a massive market in phones that aren't, you know, smartphones.
Well,
there's still a huge market there that we just ignore because we think smartphones are the be-all and end-all.
I guess the interesting thing for this is what was big in America and never really took off here was the Sidekick. And this is Microsoft bought Sidekick, and this looks like the kind of next-gen versions of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, it does.
You know, I mean, like the design of it as well, it looks good.
Yeah. I mean, jokes aside, I do agree with Chris. I think for the market that it's aimed at, I think it's probably perfect. Kids just want, you know, like, take photos on their mobile phones, play videos, and just that's pretty much it, and that's what it does.
And if it's, and we haven't heard the pricing yet, have we? But I mean, no. If it's, you know, this could be a very different market price, you know, thing.
It's definitely coming to the UK.
It's Verizon in May, and it's Autumn and Vodafone. Okay. And the thing that stood out for me as well, I mean, design side, you know, design of it aside, I mean, 5 and 8 megapixel cameras, and yep. It's 720p video it's shooting. I mean,
it's like your flip.
Exactly.
Flip cameras in your phone, and again, that's how people are using their phones. You know, they go out and take videos.
That's what the kids are doing, is it?
Definitely impress the kids. I think
down with the kids.
Camera. Down with the.
See, kids. I think it may well. You know, we've maybe hit on something here. It may well get banned in the States anyway because it makes sexting too easy. So you know,
I see Microsoft had to change their advert. The advert had some guy with a camera and lifting his shirt up and doing something. Which they now have to, they've had to change after there was a bit of feedback from the public.
The outraged public, no doubt.
Well, it was probably some right wing, you know.
Outraged in Tunbridge Wells, but it's not out here till the autumn.
Outraged in Tunbridge Wells.
So, I mean, it's normally dismayed. In England, we're normally dismayed about something, aren't we? But Americans are definitely outraged.
When you say England, do you really mean England or you mean the UK?
Oh, I don't.
Is this another one of your kind of? Anyway, moving on.
No, because in Scotland we're scunnered,
absolutely scunnered.
Over my head.
What, scunnered? You've never heard of scunnered?
Yeah, never even heard of it. No.
Well, to be honest, Chris, most things are over your head. The Droid Incredible, which in the list of names that you can call a droid phone, is surely up there.
It's a little bit. Poo, isn't it?
Well, and I guess, but this is the yet again latest Android device, and it is seemingly the best one to buy now.
Is it in the Droid family? I assume it is. Is it the Droid replacement?
And well, what's quite interesting, what I didn't know, Verizon owned the Droid brand.
Oh.
So it's not a manufacturer that owns a Droid brand, it's Verizon. So the first Droid phone from Verizon was the Motorola one. And I guess that
I thought Droid was Motorola.
And I guess that explains why when the phone came to Europe, it wasn't called Droid because Verizon owned the brand.
Milestone.
It was Milestone, yeah.
Milestone.
So
dear.
The second in the Droid family is Incredible from HTC. So you're only going to get a Droid if you're teamed up with Verizon in the States. So that explains the Droid branding. So I don't know if we're going to have an HTC Incredible when it comes here or an HTC something else.
It maybe explains it, but it's very confusing.
I think it's a bit confusing. And we'll maybe come on to towards the end, but I can never, if I was, and maybe it's just the way I think, I want to try and get the best I can right now. And the way things are going with Android, it makes me feel like when I'm back in the PC world, when I was like, I was buying a graphics card, and if I buy one now, you know, 2 weeks later, there was something else out. And I felt straight away I'd been, oh no, if I'd only waited. It just feels like the pace in Android is just incredible. You know, and device-wise, I just feel you're out. If you've got that mentality, which I know not everybody has, you know, we're not all obsessed with gadgets, but I'd feel a bit ripped off already if I'd bought an Nexus One, and already they're saying this is now the best touch interface on an Android phone, and it's the sound playback's better, and you know, it's just got a number of things on it. I think the one that stood out was the camera. They're saying the camera at 8 megapixel was fantastic. You know, it did a really, really good job of taking photos.
Mm.
So that is the Droid Incredible. Oh, and one thing that was interesting, this is the first one that actually has internal storage. So I think all the others have just had the micro SD slot. So you can actually have the 8 gigabyte internal storage plus a 32 gig micro SD and have 40 gig available. But they've found some apps don't work because the apps always assume you've got a card, so they don't see the internal storage, so they break.
So that sounds like somebody not using the APIs properly.
I don't know.
Well, you know, it is just difficult, much more difficult to develop for Android because you've got all these multitude of devices. You're trying to work out what's coming next. Mm. And, you know, if this is the first one that's got internal storage, well, you know, if you developed your apps, you didn't know that was kind of coming, then, you know, what do you do?
And I'm sure there'll be updates out and it'll be easy to work around, but I think you're going to see more of that as time goes on with all the different platforms. this was the first one that has Sense interface on top, and certainly in both in Gadget and Gizmodo thought the interface was fantastic. You know, it was the best found so far on an Android device.
Google were against that, you know, whacking other interfaces on top of it at one point, weren't they?
I don't know if it's just over time they thought, sod it, it's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's they couldn't have stopped it anyway. It's just they voiced their opinion. But
yeah,
if it's getting good reviews, then, you know, it's only going to strengthen Android.
Yep, definitely. And one little, without trying to poo-poo Flash too much, but the browser came with Flash Lite, but there was lots of problems. So I think both the review sites that I read, they were struggling to get Flash to work. They couldn't load up Flash on their own site. And I think the comment from Engadget, if someone was hoping to convince us that Flash could work on a device like this, consider the job unfinished. But I think in the last day, Adobe have said it's going to be the later half of this year that 10.1 will come out on the mobile platforms. And I think that's the one they're saying is going to solve the performance problems. So time will tell.
Indeed.
So best Android phone today is the Droid Incredible.
I mean, you say today, is it actually out today?
It is in America. Right. I couldn't actually get hold of when it was potentially coming here, because obviously Droid and Verizon, it's tied up with that, so it was hard to find some information.
The milestone was about 3 months behind, something like that?
I think so.
Yeah, and then it was only available through that... It wasn't Misco.
Expansys.
Expansys, that's who it was.
They were selling it, but I think it was T-Mobile not selling it as well a few days later. But I think Expansys had some sort of crazy, you know, we're first to sell it.
Yeah.
And that's this week's news.
Wow.
Remarkable.
it truly was remarkable.
So we're on to some picks. While Shaquille scrabbles about and sorts something out, Henry, what's your pick this week?
Well, my pick is a bit of a lame pick this week, but I've been taking tips from Chris. So, it's freeappcalendar.com, and it's just one of those sites where there's a free iPhone app each day. Some of them are pretty rubbish. One or two of them are quite good. And you just get to vote on which one. I think there's quite a few of these sites that kind of have sprung up now. But that was one I found today that's quite good. You can vote for different bits and pieces and download a free app per day. So, you know, usually ones that you'd have to pay for, that they get the developers to make free for one day only. And some of them, I think, you think really should have been free from the very start.
Controversial.
But there we go. That's my pick for today.
Remember that little comment in the future, listeners.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. I'll crack on with my not one, not two, but three picks, because a couple of them are quite minor. The first one is, who has David Cameron been talking to? So if you go to fridgemagnet.org.uk/toys/dave-met.php, and all it does is randomly bring up some sayings that could quite possibly have come from the mouth of David Cameron, especially after that performance in the TV leaders debate last week. So I am going to boldly just randomly pick one and read out to give you an example.
No, I've got one here. Last week, I met a Muslim lady who told me that benefit tourists were no substitute for proper married relationships.
Last week, I met a wheelchair-bound policeman who told me that Urban 75 killed Diana.
Last week, I met a sort of barman who told me environmentalists sexually assaulted a small child and also stole their sweets.
Last week, I met a northern miner who told me that 5 more years of Gordon Brown needed an Aspo.
And finally, last week, I met an inner city family who told me that the unions took all of their money and spent it on a duck island. Scarily true. The second of my mini picks is that, as you know, there's some crazy volcano that's been causing chaos this week. Lonely Planet iPhone guides have announced that for the next, I think it's up until close of play Thursday, UK time, their 13 city guides are now free. So I should really have prepared and rattled out what the city guides are and what's available.
London, Paris, Copenhagen.
There you go.
Munich, Barcelona, Istanbul, Moscow, Vienna. Did I say that?
Amsterdam, Berlin.
Yeah, Amsterdam.
Copenhagen.
Yep.
Istanbul. You probably said that.
Stockholm.
Moscow.
Said it.
I said that.
So,
this has become one of those memory games, hasn't it? She's not really working. But what?
No.
All like no. Because, unfortunately,
because
not.
Sydney's
only
not
one
suffering from volcano ash.
All I can say is that on OS4 with the stacks, you can put them all together and it works really nicely.
No, is that just a guess?
Sure is.
Now these are usually $9.95. So
wow.
So I'm going to, and I think they're about 60, 70 meg each. And there's quite a lot.
They are quite large.
There's quite a lot of content in each one, so it's it's well worth if you're in iTunes. I would just download them and just not sync them over.
Exactly.
You know, that's what I'll be doing. Being quite tight. My third pick is Eurofukuru.
Pardon me.
Bless you.
Pardon.
I'm not going to say it again. It's an app called Night.
Yeah, because we don't want another explicit tag.
Exactly.
Again,
Eurofukuru. It's a free Twitter client for the Mac. Brackets. It's called Night Owl, and it's actually a really nicely done Twitter client. It's fast, and one of the advantages over Tweety is it actually supports, you know, some of the new features, you know, like the proper retweets and seeing other people retweeting, which Tweety in the Mac still doesn't support, which is allegedly coming soon. But you can also do a lot of really smart searching, you know, so you can even use regular expressions in your searching if you're wanting to, you know, either block content or bring content through. So there's some really powerful features in it, and even just daft things like, you know, image thumbnails and pulling back images works really quickly compared to, you know, what I've been using in Tweety. It's got some auto completion when you're typing in the, you know, people's names to tweet to, and you can see threaded conversations and all that good stuff. And see, for a free app, I just thought this works really well. So that's my little pick. If you're getting fed up with Tweety not supporting some of the new features that Twitter have brought out, download Eurofukuru.
Euro.
Chris, your podcast. Your podcast? Your pick.
Yeah, so my pick, this is not so much a pick as a way of life, I think.
Harry.
So my pick this week, I shouldn't really even be talking to everyone about, because you're not supposed to sort of make this publicly available, but I figure our podcast probably, that's all right, we're safe. So this is called geocaching, or to geocache, and effectively it's a global treasure hunt where people hide little stashes of little bits of treasure or little stashes in different places, and then they leave clues and you use your phones to go and find them. Now you can download apps across all the major phone platforms. I've used my iPhone one and it works very well. So you can search for caches that are nearby, and it kind of directs you towards them. Now they tell you obviously to excuse me, to keep this going, they obviously don't want random people just finding the caches. Excuse me, I've got I'm not getting emotional about this. I'm just choking.
Maybe you've got some geocaching there.
Yeah, it's an
somebody's left it.
So is this what happens when you talk about geocaching too much? Is this like some sort of curse?
Probably yes. Someone's striking me down. So the idea is that you're supposed to make it very subtle when you go and get your geocaches, because some of them are in public places, and to make sure other people don't find them. But then you leave your name in the little notepad and say you found it, and you can register the fact that you found that geocache. Now it's just a bit of fun, really. I mean, the apps, you can have a free taster app, which I think you can find, you know, several And then if you really want to carry on going, it costs you £6 for the full app.
Yeah, you can do that. There's other things you can do with. I mean, I used to Geocache. Oh dear, confession time. But with a Garmin Legend GPS standalone GPS thing. I used to go with it. We used to take the kids and wander around. There's a few in Pollock Park and places, which is difficult under the trees to actually find the right spot. But we should be fair, Chris, and say that Treasure is probably stretching it a bit.
Well, that was going to be one of my questions. Can you give me an example of some treasure?
Well, I found a pound coin in one.
Basically, you're supposed to, if the cache has got treasure in it, you're supposed to take something and replace it with something else.
That's the idea.
So there's things like key rings sometimes. You know, it can be really simple things, but yes, it's treasure is a bit overstating it, I think.
but it's quite fun to do when you're looking for the things, and it certainly gets. It's certainly, I've used it to get the kids out on and start watching the telly and do a bit of exercise.
I'm surprised generally by how many there are around the place. You know, when you do a search, there's generally things around. So yeah, it's good.
I'm tempted to just.
It's actually really good for finding out a little bit about your local area, which you really didn't know. I've discovered there's a number of things that I didn't really know about Glasgow that I found from geocaching, which people put down in the little notes and things.
So. See, I always, have you ever been to that website, Hidden Glasgow?
Yes.
And I've always thought that would make a great app. You know, taking a city like this size and all the little nuggets that people find and great photos and hidden little bits and turn it into a geocaching type app. Anyway, Shaquille.
Ian.
Have you got a pick for us?
I've just been browsing through my iPhone to see if I can find anything. The only thing that comes to mind is you might have already covered it before. Have you covered Marvel before? The iPhone app?
The one I showed you this morning? No.
Yep. Ah, there
you go. So go on, take us through that.
Well, basically, it's a free app by Marvel Comics. And I think you said to me that they bought a Comixology, and I'm pretty sure we covered Comixology's app a while back.
I think
which
we did.
I thought was quite a good comic reader. So it's the same as Comixology. You've got a number of free comics that you can download, and then the rest are paid for, ranging from about £1.79, I think, or £1.99. The free ones are usually either issue ones of some of the major comic series, or it might just be like a random issue picked up from in between a series. And again, it works exactly the same as Comixology. You get like a cell per cell view, and as you click on it, it just either scrolls or flips over to the next cell, and you can zoom in and out of the cell. You can set the app to auto-rotate based on the orientation of the cells as well. Overall, quite a nice polished-looking app, and it's free, so you can give it a try.
No, I was quite... The only limitation is just the limitation of the iPhone screen. It's the size.
Yep.
I just think, that and an iPad.
Ooh. Exactly, yeah.
But it works. I mean, the actual downloading is fairly quick, and it's £1.19 per issue.
Yeah.
Which I don't know how it compares to the actual paper-based one.
Yeah. And I think unlike the Comixology app, I'm pretty sure it was Marvel Comics that you couldn't get on that. And obviously now you can on this app. You can get all the Marvel comics.
Yep, and it's a massive range.
Yeah, you've got Captain America, Iron Man, Avengers. I'm just looking at it just now. Spider-Man, Fantastic Four. Hulk.
But no Flash.
Yeah, no Flash. It's not needed.
That's a great pick.
Yeah, thank you.
If you want to find out more about us, our website is digitaloutbox.com. You can email us at info@digitaloutbox.com. And what are we on? Twitter and Skype as Digital Outbox. Who will I pick on first? Chris.
I was just thinking, there's no point me pointing anyone towards my Twitter or my blog because nothing ever happens.
Aww.
But it's cheesy. It's cheesy UK is my Twitter. ChrisHutchinson.org.uk is my blog, which are both completely unused at the moment.
I tell you what, friend Chris on Twitter. Let's make it happen for him.
I thought you'd have lots of Apple-hating friends.
It's just I haven't tweeted anything for ages.
I know. We need to get you back on the Xbox.
Or played the Xbox, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't do anything.
Oh, Henry.
Yeah, I'm Talk Rhubarb on Twitter and talkrhubarb.com/wordpress
is my Shaquille. Blog.
Shaquille9.com is my blog, and you can follow me on Twitter at Shaqken.
Cool. Well,
and Ian.
Well, oh, me. Yes. Iand.net is the blog, and Streeper is the Twitter. And I was just about to say that's us, but I guess I should let everybody know that if you're in Glasgow on May the 12th,
oh no,
then if you turn up at the I can't remember what the time is. If you turn up at the Apple Store, I think it's from 7 o'clock onwards. There's the usual Mac user group meeting, and you might find a few of us doing a talk about podcasting. Heaven knows how that's going to go. Badly is probably the best description right now, but I'm sure Henry's going to do a great talk for us.
What? I will make my contribution. Yeah,
fantastic.
But,
So I don't even know if people can pop along if they wanted to, but there you go. We're going to be doing a talk all about podcasting on the Mac. Although I must admit, the temptation to turn up with my work laptop, my XP laptop, and plug it in is high. just out of devilment, it's high.
Didn't they say you'd be banned if you did that?
Yeah, probably. But no, we'll turn up with some Macs, don't worry. Anyway, that's us for this week. And we'll see you again soon. Ta-ra.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Does everyone else sing the theme tune in their head?
I do a little dance.
Yeah.
My problem is I never know how long it is, so I never know how long to leave.
Well, as long as you leave like 3 seconds, you're fine.
Because then you can
I just split and stretch.
Splice it and dice.
Split and stretch.
She said. Taken to giggling like a little girl recently.
What do you mean recently? I think back to all those nights in Xbox Live.
but recently it's gone much more high pitched.
No. You've just been delusional for the last
I just haven't, maybe my ears have only just tuned into it then.